You have a lot of scripture in your bulletin, and the reason is it's actually all part of one incident that takes place after Jesus ascended to heaven. I'm going to read some of it to you during this thing, and then I'm going to have you read some as well. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand the miracle in which we live. The miracle of new birth in your Son Jesus, the miracle of living with a Spirit in us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the sixth in a series on miracles, and we have looked at the definition of miracles. We looked at an expectation of miracles, along with making room for a miracle to happen in our lives. And we have looked at this cripple and the disciples at the Gate Beautiful for the last 2 weeks. And today I want us to look at the same scripture and what it means to live in the miracle of that takes place in our lives. I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16, and when I get to verse 7, if you would just read 7 through 10 with me. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Now read with me verses 7 to 10. "And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Now let me read the rest to you. "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." Now, in this scripture in Acts, we looked at first that it's hopeful people who receive miracles, and this cripple was hopeful, at least for the alms that he was receiving. We also noticed that it's through disciples that miracles occur. We see Peter and John literally living out the discipline of worship and prayer, along with their sensitivity to the needs of people, that is, paying attention to what's going on around them, and their relationship with Jesus is the fountain of their authority in this miracle. We noticed that the people all got excited and astonished with this miracle. But the truth is, the miracle happened because disciples live in a dimension of life where God can do exciting things. Today I want to look at the man who is healed and what it means to live in a miracle that he experienced. This man was healed and restored. He had been a cripple for 40 years, and suddenly he is thrust into a situation where he is going to have to live in a miracle of his own healing. Now, I want you to think about that. For 40 years, the guy's been laying around begging. But suddenly, he is well. And I want to compare his healing with a miracle that Jesus does in changing our lives. Some of us have been healed from things that are visible, and some of us have been healed from things that aren't visible. Some of us live in the miracle of knowing Jesus as our Savior, and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives. Living as God's man or woman in this world is a miracle in and of itself, because if you have faith, it was given to you by God, and if the Holy Spirit is working in you, that's a miracle in itself. And if it is working in you, people notice the change in you. We just had 3 banquets take place in this church, and I guarantee you, a number of those people that came out of that thing, they literally glow in the dark. And what that means is people notice that. Sometimes it is not easy to live in Jesus and the miracle that God gives to us. You know, if you read the Old Testament, the people of Israel, when they were walking or getting ready to walk through the Red Sea after God had parted those waters, that may have been a pretty tough thing to do if you think about it. I mean, if I were a person in that group of people getting ready to go through the Red Sea with all that water piled up on the sides, I might be looking at it and say, you know, that's a really great miracle out there, but I'm not sure I want to walk through it. In this story in the book of Acts, this man has a healing that takes place. And suddenly, he is thrust into a huge debate. He ends up in jail by the end of the day. And all he did was receive a healing. Sometimes it's tough to live in a miracle. So I want to look at this miracle healing and compare it to the miracle of just knowing Jesus as Savior and how we live that out. The first thing we notice about this man is he had a new dependence on other people. If you look at verse 7 here, it says that Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. The first thing that happens is Peter helps the guy. In verse 11, it says, while he clung to Peter and John, this guy's newly healed, and he's hanging on to Peter and John, not because he can't walk, but because of what's all happening around him. This man needed Peter's help, if for nothing else, first to just help him to his feet, and then maybe to help interpret for him what had just happened. This man suddenly has been ushered into a new beginning place. This was a new time in a new life situation. And some people lose their candidacy for living in a miracle because they're unwilling to learn a new dependence on other people, those that are around them. This man is not a beggar anymore, but he is a beginner. He's a beginner in a new life that he has. And when people receive Jesus as their Savior and they begin that journey of making Him Lord of their lives, they may not be new people, but they are new people spiritually. And in a sense, they are beginners in terms of spiritual life, of their spiritual life. And living in a miracle of new birth opens you up to the need to depend on other people in faith. The second thing that happens in the miracle of receiving Jesus as your Savior is a new dimension of commitment to the Lord and a desire to experience the Lord's presence in a new way. There is a desire to live in a way that causes miraculous things to happen. There is a desire to give thanks and praise God for the work that He does in their lives. And sometimes it bugs the heck out of people when they receive that and they go back to their dutiful church, which is not praising God, and just going through the rote worship service. Like this man, he went into the temple leaping and praising God. When God gets a hold of you in new birth and new life in Christ Jesus, there is a desire to express that praise that is inside of you. There is a desire to worship. This man received a double miracle. He not only received the healing of his feet and ankle bones and his legs, but he could instantly walk. The man had not been able to walk ever. When you receive Jesus as Savior, it changes your life. And it changes your life in much the same way as this miracle changed this man's life. So living in a miracle of a new life in Christ Jesus causes a person to want to praise God in a spontaneous manner. So the first two things that we see happening to this guy, and we can take that and we can apply it to our own spiritual lives as well, or as we are with other people, is first, a new dependence on other people. I need people. I need people of the faith around me. Secondly, a new commitment in worshiping and walking with God. It's a life of worship instead of a life of church, maybe. The third thing that takes place in living in a miracle is it places you at the center of people's thinking about God. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 12. Peter said, he addressed the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" The healed man had become a reason that an explanation needed to be given. The people, what's going on here? What's just happening? The people are asking questions. They are astonished. Now, I think this is really the strongest pathway for evangelism, is answering people's questions when things happen. You're not being pushy then. Your reason for giving an answer is, well, you asked. And when the miracle of new life happens in you or happens around you and people you know, if it happens in you, it puts you at the center of other people's thinking about God. This guy became the vortex of action against the kingdom of God. There's a whirlwind of activity that is set in motion, and right in the center of it is this man who has just been healed. I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, but I'd like for you to read with me the first three verses. Here we go. "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the morrow, for it was already evening." Now, "but many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the morrow, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the head of the corner.'" Living in the miracle of a life in Christ can put you at the center of attention. It can be a kind of a center of attention that nobody really gets excited about, because it can become a real problem to you personally, because you can be persecuted. When you live in the miracle of a Christ-centered life, you better be ready to answer when the questions come, and you also need to be ready to be rejected. The essence of your witness in Christ is that people see something happening in your life, and they ask about what's going on with you. And sometimes they're interested out of amazement. Is this the same guy? And sometimes they are asked in order to reject you and to reject your witness. Read with me chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man that had been healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is manifest to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. The world looks at what is happening and it becomes undeniable. These guys can't deny the healing, but that doesn't mean they can't or won't reject it. The power of Jesus Christ in this world is undeniable. In fact, we mark our calendars with it in terminology like B.C. and A.D. Not only that, but we are about to celebrate Christmas once again, and part of this world wants to deny it and just call it Happy Holidays. We're about to have a $1 trillion birthday party for Jesus, and he is not invited to his own party. Humanity is only intimidated by the possible entry of one other person than his own ego, and that's Jesus. So the world tries to deny Jesus and threatens his people and rejects his people, and that puts us at the center of the world's thinking about God. The same way that this man who was healed is at the center of their thinking about God. The world doesn't need more churches. It just needs more churches that are filled with the Holy Spirit and bear witness to who Jesus is. Living in the miracle of a new life in Jesus places you at the center of people's thinking about God, and it also places you in the arena of spiritual warfare. Just look at verse 3 in chapter 4. "And they arrested them and put them in custody until the morrow, for it was already evening." When you look at this, they're arrested. They're put in jail overnight. This includes Peter and John and the cripple who was healed. Isn't that great? The only thing that the cripple did was get healed, and he ends up in jail. The three of them are standing trial. Peter and John for walking into the miracle, the man who was healed for living in a miracle. Now, this is spiritual warfare, and you better believe it. Can you think of any logical reason for a man who was healed and the two people who helped him to be thrown into jail? Go down to DMH or St. Mary's and walk into a room where two doctors have just healed a man and the police are there to throw him in jail. It doesn't make any sense unless there are forces of spiritual wickedness in high places that rise against health and Jesus, and try to cage it. You can do healings in this world, but you better not do it in the name of Jesus. Can't you see these Pharisees? People start meeting Jesus for real. We got a real problem. The real problem is the world's crippledness. The world doesn't like health. It doesn't like well-being if it happens in Jesus' name. We all know people or live with people who stand against us or our belief in Jesus. We live in the arena of spiritual warfare. And this guy ends up in jail, and all he did was receive healing. Living in a miracle of a Christ-centered life and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that we are involved in spiritual warfare. People want spiritual victories, but they don't want the spiritual battles that lead to the victories. Living in a miracle involves the recognition that you will be placed in the arena of spiritual conflict. And that's exactly what happens to this man. How do you live in a miracle? Well, you think about this guy. I mean, really think about it. After this happened, every day of his life, he would walk with the people of God on his way to worship. And he would pass that beautiful gate. Can you imagine the day after he got out of jail and he went to church? Can you hear his thoughts? I'm walking. Hey, I'm walking! I don't wait for somebody to carry me there anymore. I don't wait for anybody to come get me after 40 years. And probably at least 20 years of being carried to a place of begging. I'm walking. I'm out of my personal prison. Now, I'm telling you what, learning to live in a miracle takes some doing. It costs something. A changed life costs you something. A new dependence on other people. You'll be at the center of some people's thinking about God. You might be at the center of a spiritual warfare battle just because of who you represent. And we need to understand whether we want to live in that kind of life or not, that center, and be ready to answer when the questions come at us. And also to be rejected at times. This miracle was undeniable, but it doesn't mean they wouldn't reject it. You see, Jesus is a threat to your own ego and to the world. And learning to live in a miracle becomes somewhat of a task because it takes some doing. And I wonder if you walked in that miracle of new birth in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that as we live as your people and people see the miracle of the faith that we have, and the work of your Spirit, that we would be your witnesses in all that that means. In Jesus' name, amen.